Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house on the Sabbath. Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to thank the Lord once again for saving my soul, for the godly heritage He gave me.
Yes,
parents in Brazil there for 43 years. We just got back from helping one of my brothers start a new church. And it's exciting to be involved in missions. And what a blessing that is. Thank you, Pastor Shepherd, and for the church, for allowing us to be here these couple days during your missions conference, praying that the Lord will work, continue to work in you and through you for His cause and for His glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's go ahead and stand when you find your place there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read, for the sake of time, a couple verses here, and then I'll pray that you be seated and we'll jump right in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a familiar passage, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible.
Amen.
And we'll pick it up in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And I want to preach for just a little while on the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that you would fill me with thy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say the things that you'd have me to say.
Yes.
And the time here, I pray that you leave unsaid what need not be said. I pray that you'd be with these that are here today. I pray that you'd give them Spirit-filled ears.
Yes.
And then, Lord, help us not to be hearers only, but may we be doers.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray every missions conference I go to, a preaching meeting, Lord, I'm always challenged. But Lord, frankly, it's not enough to be challenged. We need to be changed.
Yes.
And so I pray that you would do what only you can do, and that is to change us for your cause and for your glory. And we'll be careful to give you the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The ministry of reconciliation, by way of introduction, is not just for us so-called missionaries. Paul here, by inspiration, says given unto us, but he's not just talking about him and a select few called, you know, what we call missionaries today. He's writing to the church at Corinth, one of the most carnal churches in Scripture. It's amazing to me how much God has to say about missions in Corinthians. I think that part of what he is saying is, look, if you'll get missions together, everything else will fall into place. Too many churches today that believe that missions is just another program of the church. I believe that missions is the purpose of the church.
Amen.
And this ministry of reconciliation has been given to us, and that includes you and me. Every born-again believer, I believe, has been given this ministry of reconciliation. And so I want us to consider in the passage, not just the verses that we looked at, but several verses in this chapter. So keep your Bibles open here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to consider the motivation for this ministry of reconciliation, then the means for it, and finally the mission. And we'll trust the Lord to add His blessing to the preaching of His Word. Well, go back with me to verse number 9, where I find the first motivation. It says there, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And here I find the motivation, a drive to please God.
Right.
Now, can I say that everybody has a drive? Some people are driven to be couch potatoes, right? To sit on the couch, eat potato chips, watch TV. Others, you know, are driven to play with their thumbs, whether it's texting or video games or whatever the case may be. A lot of people have a drive for different things, but as the children of God, our drive ought to be to please God, to be accepted of Him, pleasing to Him. And we're going to appear before Him, are we not? Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's not just your pastor. That's not just the missionaries here. That is every child of God. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm afraid that day we will wish we had done more.
You're exactly right.
Not more TV watching.
Yeah.
Not more video games.
Right.
But we will wish we had been more involved in the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
And we ought to have a drive to please God when we wake up in the morning. That's what ought to drive us. I want to please God today. Here am I, Lord, whatever you'd have me to be and do. And, you know, I'm for soul winning programs, and our church goes soul winning, I go. But I believe that we need to not just go soul winning, we need to be soul winners. And I agree with the preacher yesterday. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that draws, but He uses us. We get to be involved. And it's a great privilege, but it's also a grave responsibility.
Amen.
And what is your drive? What is it that drives you? When you get up each morning, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You know, we're all busy, right?
Right.
Everybody's busy.
Sure.
And but we all have the same 24 hours.
Right.
And we will be involved in that which drives us, and we ought to be driven to please God.
Amen.
The second motivation I find for this ministry of reconciliation is verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Here I find the motivation of duty. We sing beautiful words of God and wonderful words of life, and it talks about duty there. And I believe that duty shouldn't be our only motivation. We'll look at others, but it is a motivation. We have a duty, as this verse says here, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We have a duty to persuade men and women, boys and girls, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, by persuade, God is not telling us to get people to say yes when they mean no. All right? It's not telemarketing. But we have a responsibility to be Spirit-filled and take the gospel message that has the power of God unto salvation. It is a duty. Again, it is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is the Great Commission, which unfortunately has become the great omission. They say that, I don't know how they come up with statistics. One of my favorite statistics is this. I've been saying it all the time now. You know that 77% of statistics are made up?
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know how they come up with all these statistics, but they say that only 5% of Christians witness. What a tragedy. Wouldn't you say? But no wonder half this world has never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that that is not God's fault. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the problem is, too many Christians are shirking their duty. Their duty to persuade men and women, boys and girls of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe it is a duty not just for a missionary, you know, whether it's to get the word of God around the world, whether it's to go. Some have been here, you know, going to Russia, Papua New Guinea and so on, to Midwest, I believe, and things like that. But we all have a duty.
That's right.
And sometimes we say you ought to go or send. Well, I know what we believe or what we mean by that, but I kind of disagree. We're all to go and send.
Right.
You say God hasn't called me to go to Brazil, for example. Well, okay, but He's called you to go across the street.
Right.
Now, Jim Elliot said, "Why wait for a voice when you already have a verse?
Amen.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And again, that is not just for us full-time missionaries. That is for every child of God. We have a duty. We ought to have a drive to please God. We ought to recognize our duty to persuade men. And then, I believe the best motivation in the text is the one found in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Here I see the motivation of devotion. And while duty is a biblical motivation, it's not enough. If you only go soul winning out of duty, you'll probably burn out. You'll get tired of people closing the door in your face. But if you will do it out of devotion, out of a love for the Savior, then you'll keep going. You won't burn out. And so we need to have this third motivation here in the passage of devotion. And we don't have a drive to please God, a duty to persuade men, but a devotion to present self.
Amen.
Notice there again, it says, and that he died for all, verse 15, that they which live. Now, who is that? That's you and me, right? Are you alive tonight? Amen. Spiritually, if you have been born again, you're alive in Christ. Not just the missionary, every child of God. That's what it's talking about here. Then they which live, that's you and me, those that are born again by the Spirit of God, should not henceforth live unto themselves. Henceforth. From the time of our salvation, guess what? We have a new master.
Amen.
We ought to have a new purpose. That's what verse 17 is talking about. And we teach it and preach it in the context of separation. And I believe that a Christian ought to look different, walk different, talk different. He ought to listen to different things, go to different places.
Right.
But the context is missions. And our new purpose is not self-gratification,
right,
which is the number one enemy of God glorification.
Right.
But it is We have a new purpose. And that is, among other things, the ministry of reconciliation. Because we ought to have a love that would cause us to present ourselves. Henceforth, not live unto themselves, right? But unto Him, which died for them. I often, when I witness to people trying to get across that it's not by works. Salvation is by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And I emphasize the sufficiency of Christ. But I often talk about, while we're not saved by works, some people think, oh, I can do whatever I want to. Well, the reason I go to church, read my Bible, and pray is not to get to heaven, but because I'm going.
That's right.
It's out of gratitude. It's out of devotion. I love Him who did everything for me. And I ought to have a love that would cause me to say each and every day, God, here am I.
Amen.
What would you have me to do?
Amen.
Where would you have me to go?
Right.
And again, if God has called you, I'm not saying God has called everybody to go across the seas, but I believe He's called us all to go across the street.
Right.
And whatever our profession is, we're to be a full-time Christian.
Amen.
And we're to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, as was said yesterday. It might not be going across the seas, and sometimes maybe not even across the street, but just across, the table at the workplace or whatever the case may be. Students in schools and different situations, we are to be involved in this ministry of reconciliation. People come up with all kinds of excuses. But Brother Johnson, I'm shy. You know what I say to that? Welcome to the club. I'm a shy guy, and in a group, I'm usually quiet. I just listen. But you know what? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And so we need to stop giving excuses, and we just need to realize it. It's a lack of devotion. That's what it is. People say, I love Jesus. Great. When was the last time you went fishing for men? Because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men.
Right.
So if we're not fishing for men, we're not following Jesus, how can we say that we love Jesus?
Amen.
Right? I mean, I don't have time to get into much of my testimony, but I was away from God for about 4 years. And volleyball was my life. I loved volleyball. I played volleyball. I watched volleyball. I read about volleyball. Why? Because I loved volleyball. And I followed, professional volleyball players and so on and so forth. That was where my love was.
Yeah.
Folks, if we love God, if we love Jesus, we're going to love lost souls because Jesus loves lost souls. And we're going to have, if we have a devotion where it ought to be, we're going to present ourselves. And if God doesn't call us to go across the seas, we're going to say, God, use me across the street. Use me in this ministry of reconciliation where I am. How's our drive today? It ought to be to please God. How's your duty? Are you persuading? And how's your devotion? Have you presented yourself? I pray, people. I believe God wants everybody to be saved and sure.
Right.
Are you sure you're saved?
Right.
But that's not all. He wants us all to be serving
sure. And
sharing.
Amen.
Sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me hasten to number two, the means of this ministry of reconciliation. Look where we began in verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by good works. That's not what it says, is it? It doesn't even say the church. I believe in the church. I believe Jesus instituted the church, and I believe that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But salvation is in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's in a person. It's not in a religion. It's in a relationship.
Right.
And here we have the means for this ministry of reconciliation when it says that He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. And it's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The first means for this ministry of reconciliation is the blood.
Right, yes.
The finished work of Calvary.
Amen.
I'm glad there's a no-soul salvation.
Amen.
Most religions teach a doing, right? That's why they can't know. Well, I hope so. And one day I'll know. Oh, you can't know now. Yes, you can. These things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do I know? Because I'm a good person, right? Because I'm a missionary kid. Come on. I never robbed anybody. I never killed, I never killed anybody. Never robbed a bank. No, I'm a sinner. I deserve to die and go to hell. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. Because of the finished work of Calvary, the blood that was shed 2,000 years ago. I'm glad for churches that still sing about the blood.
Right.
Too many churches today are getting rid of hymn books. They're getting rid of the blood. They don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
I don't want to offend anybody, but sometimes the truth offends.
Sure. Right.
And the pastor talked about that. We need to have the right spirit.
Sure.
But I'd rather be united in truth than divided by truth than united in error.
That's right.
But the means to the ministry of reconciliation, number one, is the blood, the finished work. You know, God has called us to a great task, but He's given us the tools required. If you have a good employer, they're going to train you. They're going to give you the things that you need to carry out your job, right? Well, God has given us a great task, and it's impossible in and of ourselves, but He has given us the means to this ministry of reconciliation. Number one, the blood, the finished work of Calvary. It still works. It's the only thing that works. It's still the blood that saves, that cleanses us from sin. And we need to get back to preaching the blood. Amen? The book and the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. The finished work of Calvary. But then I see a second ingredient, a second means, if you will, to this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To it that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And I like this last part. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Hey, that's where our ministry comes in. The word of reconciliation. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I remember years ago I was on a trip to Brazil. And I was flying back from Sao Paulo to Atlanta. And there was a lady next to me. She was a university professor in Recife, a well-known coastal city there in Brazil. And like 90% of Brazilians, she was Catholic. And she was trusting her works and her church to get her to heaven. Well, she was what I call captive audience on an eight-hour flight. And I was able to share the gospel with her. And to make the long story short, she called upon the Lord to save her. And as we were getting off the plane, she said to me in Portuguese, she said, "Thank you for those words." And as I remember those words, I'm so thankful that they weren't just my words. Now, I didn't have, on that occasion, I actually didn't have my Portuguese Bible with me, but the Holy Spirit of God brought back those verses that I had memorized growing up in Brazil. And I was able to give her the word of reconciliation, not the opinion of Alan Johnson, not the doctrine of the Baptist Church, but thus saith the Lord, we're sinners, we deserve that death and hell, but Christ died for us, He paid our sin debt in full, and if we will repent of our sins and trust Him alone, He will save us. And it doesn't matter what language you speak, what color your skin might be, but God still saves sinners. And He uses this book. He uses His word in different languages. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He's given us the blood, the finished work, and He's given us the book, the faithful word. The faithful word. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not a Muslim. Going around preaching the Quran, a book written by a man that's dead and buried. I'm glad I'm not a Mormon going around teaching a book again written by another man who's dead and buried. Folks, we are going around, we ought to be preaching the book of someone who's died, but he's alive and well, thank God. He's the living Savior. And he's given us the living Word of God. And we need to get back to loving it, learning it, and living it. And if we're living it, guess what? We're going to get it to a lost and dying world. Because God has given us the means. Let's stop making excuses, folks. Let's just get back to the blood and the book. Amen. It still works. The word of God is still able to make thee wise unto salvation. Right. Faith still cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And we could give so many illustrations, we won't for the sake of time. But the third ingredient, frankly, is where the problem comes in. Because I believe those first two means of reconciliation are perfect. The blood and the book. Sure. I believe this book is perfectly preserved. Yes, sir. I don't think we need to add to it. We ought not take away from it. We ought not change it. It is the living word of God, and we need to preach it as it is to men as they are. But then they would be changed by the power of the word of God. But then notice verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God. And so here we see that we are ambassadors. Now, we know what an ambassador does, right? It wouldn't make any sense for an ambassador to go to another country and not deliver a message, right? An ambassador, that's typically what he does. He's representing, someone back home, usually a president, and he's representing and he's taking a message many times. Well, we're ambassadors. Not just of a president of a nation, but of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And again, this is not an option. I'm sorry, you might not like this, but we have been drafted. It's not volunteer, okay? If you're a child of God, you are an ambassador. The question is, what kind of an ambassador are you? And there's too many ambassadors that they're quiet. They're silent. They're not representing the one who they claim to represent. They're not taking the message. But God meant for the blood, the book, and the believer to be a fruitful witness. Now, the blood represents the finished work of Christ, and the book is the faithful word of God, and the believer should be a fruitful witness. The problem is, I'm not always a fruitful witness. Now, I'm not talking about results. I want to see as many people saved as possible. But I learned a long time ago, that's up to God. He wants us to be faithful. And someone mentioned it yesterday. You know, they might not see as many souls saved in Russia as they will in Papua New Guinea, but our responsibility is to be faithful, to sow the seed of the Word of God, and to be a fruitful witness. But I believe that if we'll sow in tears, regardless of where we are, the numbers might not be the same, but we shall reap in joy. Because of who we are? No. Because of who He is.
Right.
Because the blood still cleanses Russians too. And the Word of God still has the power to convict the sinner. For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Amen.
But we need to be the believers that God would have us to be. Fruitful witnesses,
yes,
for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I finish with the mission of the ministry of reconciliation found in verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, comma, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now in this verse, I see a twofold mission of this ministry of reconciliation. The first part ends in us. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. And if that doesn't tickle you, your tickler is broken. He was made to be sin for us. That's the reconciliation of sinners, right? That's the redemption plan. It's not something new. I know we say, you know, the Great Commission is there in the Gospels and in Acts. Folks, the Great Commission is from Genesis to Revelation. It's not a new plan. It's the old plan. The redemption of sinners has always been the plan. It's not plan B. It's plan A. This is the mission of the ministry of reconciliation. The redemption of sinners, and hallelujah, I qualify. Hallelujah. On January 11, 1977, I recognized that I was a sinner bound for hell and that Jesus was the only Savior. And I trusted Him as my Savior. And I became a part of this mission of the ministry of reconciliation that was to seek and to save that which was lost. And again, I qualify. And thank God for that. We ought to love sinners. We ought to have a compassion for people that are dying and going to hell. And that's part of the mission of the ministry of reconciliation. That's, I'm sure, one of the motivations why our brother's going to Papua New Guinea and the others going to the places. Why? Because people are dying and going to hell. That's why. That's the mission of the ministry of reconciliation. The redemption of sinners. But that's not all. I see in the second part of this verse what I believe is an even greater mission. And that is, the first part ends in us, the last part ends in Him.
Right.
Oh, I like that. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him.
Amen.
And yes, we ought to love lost sinners. But let me tell you, it's not about us. It's not even about them. But it is about Him.
Amen.
And we're talking here about the reward of the Savior. Not just the redemption of the sinner. That's important. Don't misunderstand me. But again, if that's your only motivation, you might get sick and tired of them saying no. But if we understand that it's about Him, and the reward of God is the greatest mission of the ministry of reconciliation, then folks, we'll keep going. Then it won't matter, because we'll understand it's not about me, it's not about them, but it's about Him. I finish quickly with an illustration. Two men in Germany years ago in the 1700s heard of a man that owned an island in the Caribbean, and he had 2,000 to 3,000 slaves there. And he said, no gospel preacher is welcome here. These men sold their lives and sold themselves into slavery. We would say, wow, what love for souls. Actually, the number one qualification of a missionary is not love for souls, but love for the Savior. But like I already said, if we love the Savior, we're going to love souls. These men sold their lives into slavery, and as they were on the ship getting ready to head out, one of them yelled back to family and friends on the shoreline and said, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings." That comes from Revelation 5. I wish I had time to take you there. I encourage you to look at Revelation 4:11 and then read on through chapter 5. It culminates in verse 12. They're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And that's what these men understood. They didn't know they'd ever see a church planted. I'm for church planting, but they weren't going to start a church. They were going as slaves. They didn't know that they'd ever win somebody to Christ. But you know what they did know? They knew that they had a Savior that was worthy. Worthy to be known and worthy to be glorified throughout eternity. And that, my dear friend, is the true mission of the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, the redemption of sinners, but above all, the reward of the Savior.
Amen.
Father, please add your blessing to the preaching of your word. Bless the rest of this service. And as I've asked, please don't just challenge us, but change us for your cause and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.